is a better configure this thing, number one. The end user's demand is also to be having the highest level of, highest part of the variant on the vehicle. Today, what was optional yesterday is mandatory today. Even in cars, there's no car without an ABS these days. So it was earlier an option, now it's mandatory. So slowly it will be going into a mandatory mode for single channel, two channel. And we had to progress in a gradual manner. Our collaboration says single channel and twin channel both. So we could not have launched both. We had to gain experience on the single channel first, and that's what we did. We are on board with single channel, and we are also in advanced stage of calibration and testing for twin channel. So it had to come step by step. It was not something that, and it had to come in series. It could not have jumped in parallel. In fact, you have answered the question yourself. See, what is happening is today scooters are CVT is applicable in scooters. Right? We are moving into a transit mode from EV to IC to EV. So very obviously the CVT will also go. But there's still a lot of demand, or there's still a lot of space for CVTs. Now we are penetrating through our competition. When the volumes are low, they are sitting with idle capacities. My competition is sitting with idle capacities. So in order to penetrate through them, I've got to be cost optimal, I've got to be design optimal, and I've got to be very aggressive in my approach towards my customers. So what am I trying to do? I'm trying to give a package deal that, okay, I'm giving you front forks also, I'm giving you brakes also, I'm giving... So the products which are under my umbrella, my OEMs should be buying all of them. So that's the concept behind it, that to promote our product. And since there is space for a product that we are holding, for the technology which we are holding, there is no reason why I should not be promoting that. See, it may have taken a bit longer for us to reach there. Like in Hero, our CVT is fully tested. We'll be on board any time. It's fully tested. So I think lower offtake by OEMs was the reason that they did not want to add another source. Okay. And idle capacity sitting at my company was another reason. It's not that they did not want us to engage with them. It's not that way.
So,
Sandhu,
actually have a lower price when a OEM is probably buying all the different parts of a two-wheeler. I mean, one was just in one, the way to penetrate into a different segment with OEM. In that case, the strategy is that you could probably promote clutches by if they're already buying.
Okay. Try to understand the assemblies that we are talking about. They are critical assemblies with respect to engine performance, right? Be it a clutch or be it a CVT. So an OEM would not change that easily, because the testing time itself is somewhere around 2 years. They would not change that easily. But to answer your question, that what is the do we offer cost or something? QCD is the prime factor by which you can get business. Quality, cost, and deliveries. These are three. Second, next comes is development, and then comes its management. So we have got all the boxes ticked, QC, DD, MM. So I see no reason why we can't be getting business. But finding space and crawling into that space, and penetrating in that space, there are three steps. First of all, you've got to find the space. Then you've got to crawl into it through through your competition, wherever the weak points are there of your competition. And then you've got to create higher penetration through a better service. Work like that. Now, the opportunity that I see for myself is, why is it higher in CVTs and other? Because now I've got a test track of my own. See, endurance philosophy has been what? That do something which the OEMs are doing. So if I'm taking away their pain and creating that confidence that if you're doing a certain level of testing at your place, you can eliminate that one set of testing, approve my facilities, get the product tested, I'll give you all the certificate and results of what I've tested. You have validated my equipment that yes, it's good for testing. You've validated my test track. If I'm giving you a combination of all these things, you can probably eliminate the number of tests that you want to do on your directly onto the vehicle. Okay, so it's offering complete solutions to a customer. So if you look into I don't know how well you've been tracking endurance, and he has, of course. We've been making progressions. And what are these progressions are? Basically to offer extended full time or this complete solutions to our customers. That has been our driver. Okay.
We understand that we are roughly 20-25% lower than some of the competition, like Porsche and Continental. Just wanted to check, where did we get those cost savings from?
We have not mentioned that we are 20-25%
less. We never said that.
Yeah.
Okay. We never said that we are 25% lower than the Porsche.
Yeah, but we have said that we are more.
We are more competitive.
So without giving lower price, it
would
be difficult to penetrate. So, yes, we are.
Yeah, so you just mentioned how you go about adding into a segment. So, ABS only, I just wanted to understand why did we want to enter this segment given that the players that we are fighting with are much
simple,
bigger.
Very simple. I said it before that we are very dominant. We were very dominant players on hydraulic assemblies, hydraulic brake assemblies. The moment ABS became mandatory or a regulatory requirement, it was very obvious that we had to get onto that. Otherwise, what will happen? I'll keep on buying modulators for someone else. I'll do the oil filling and give it to it. Okay? That was not the objective. That doesn't qualify my philosophy of giving complete solutions. If I'm buying a modulator from someone else, fitting it onto my brake systems, there's nothing wrong in doing that, but then I'm not offering a complete solution. So I've got to qualify my slogan also, my philosophy also, offering complete solutions. So it was a natural progression, and anything which becomes an integral part of the product that I'm supplying is a very natural way of progressing forward. Very natural way of progressing, and probably say it's a must to do kind of a thing. We were not into hoses, but what compelled us to go into hoses? What was the opportunity for us to go into hoses? Wire-braided hoses are those which are required for ABS, because in normal rubber hoses, you don't get linear expansion, So what happens if the expansion on the hoses are more, the brake performance and the ablator performance may misbehave. So they are fitted with wire-braided hoses, which are steel-braided hoses. So their expansions are minimal. So even while you're even in 40 degrees or something, it's rubber braided with steel. The expansions are very much controlled and easy, or rather say controlled and, they don't affect the brake performance. And it was a natural backward integration for us to get into and offer a complete solution to the customer based on replacing an import requirement. These hoses were being imported. In fact, we were buying them from Jejuan, okay, and now, of course, it's not J1, we are making our own. So, giving import substitutions to the OEMs is also a way of offering a complete solution. Is also a way of easing out their work. It's also a way of reinforcing the supply chain in India. Okay.
So, right now, I think our installed capacity is about 10% of what the market requirement is. So, do we plan on adding anytime soon, or is it too early to?
Well, that's a very simple question to answer. Maybe 15 years back, I was doing maybe 100,000 front forks. Today, I do 1 million front forks. So, if at all the opportunity of, is available for me to grow further, I'll never say no. Why would I be shying away from adding more capacities when the opportunity is there for me to perform more? Hey, maybe 6 years, 7 years back, we did not have Hero, we did not have Honda, we did not have all proprietary products I'm talking about. So, we've ingressed into that, no? So why would we say no to business opportunities? Why would we say no to expanding capacities when the opportunities are available, when the volume is available? Why would we say no? So tomorrow, if the global opportunity comes to me and, I'm going to expand for 2 million front forks also, and if the opportunity is written for endurance, we'll definitely grab it. Why not?
Okay.
Just one last question. Drive shaft assembly business, we planned that starting sometime. So, what was the reason behind this thing? Who will be the competing against?
See, the competition is only next year and this.
GKL.
And since, but let's take the example of Conti and Bosch, you know, they were the leaders, global leaders. Likewise, GKN in next year are global leaders on this. Finding space into a drive shaft and finding space into a product which is EV agnostic, we found that yes, we can add on to our product segment of transmission and add on to the sales. And so that was the driving factor.
As a segment, aren't we more inclined towards two-wheelers so far? So how do we find space in with the OEMs?
So drive shaft is not three-wheeler. It can go into three-wheeler and four-wheeler both.
Four-wheeler.
Yeah, it can go into four-wheeler both. And then, no, please repeat your question.
No, so we are, right now I think from four-wheeler business, our share of revenue is pretty small. So how do we find space in that segment? Given that we, like in, say for scooters, all the products we have there and we are known from the OEM's perspective. So for a four-wheeler, how do we push find space in that segment?
See, when you start business, you start with a product, okay? So we started with die casting. We started in a space, our target audience was whom? Two-wheelers. So now you're into two-wheelers. Two-wheelers had always seen a very steady growth. In four-wheeler, the market size was held by players which had historical vendors behind them, and we were not into that into that space at all. So very obviously you grow your product and your products or business where you find your audience, right? So if I'm finding my audience into two-wheeler, I had to explore the entire market first. And since two-wheeler market was growing quite steadily, we didn't find any risk in the business model at all. So finding space into entire two-wheeler business and then progressing into four-wheeler, or finding space into two-wheeler and slowly making ingress with our product lines into four-wheeler, that was the right choice. So initially when we had die casting as our product, as our business model, we were into two-wheelers, and immediately we got into four-wheeler also. We have been servicing Tata for more than 25 years. So the product that we were holding was die casting. Okay. So there we had space to move into four-wheeler, we moved into four-wheeler. When we got into proprietary products, then if you want to get into OEMs, it's a different ballgame altogether. You know, you need to have expertise, you need to have infrastructure, you need to have capabilities, testing and all. So I would rather reinforce my position in the space where I've got domain expertise and then move forward for ingressing into other vehicle segments.
The last 10 years, the endurance track record has been phenomenal. And now, you know, how difficult it is for expanding the suspension vertical to four wheelers. Is it that we can do a technological tie-up or an acquisition might be required, possibly to give some comfort to the OEMs, or can we establish ourselves organically in four wheeler suspension?
We can. It has to, see, everything that you enter into has to have a business case. It has to have a target audience, which is of course the OEM, and it has to have space for you to grow. But while I'm growing into two-wheeler, I'm still trying to expand or ingress into all of us. There's still a lot of space for us in two-wheeler itself. No? There are like ABS, 3.6 million vehicles. You never know if this regulatory requirement converts into 110cc also. Then what do you do? Then sky is the limit for endurance. So let's move on reinforcing our position into the products where we hold domain expertise, that's what I'm saying. And if the opportunities arise, or organic, inorganic opportunities arise to get into four-wheeler suspension, and we find that it fits into our business model, we'll not say no.
Is it a requirement, or can we do it organically?
We can do anything which comes forward, you know, even organic. We have not even thought into going into organic expansion into four-wheeler. Something inorganic can work out later, or if some business opportunity comes in where we find that yes, it's useful, it's making sense, then probably yes. See, you could have the buy-in from the customer also, no? So if at all I've got to move into suspension of customer, then that means my target audience changes. It is then Maruti, Kia, Hyundai, and what, Tatas and Mahindras.
But we already have a relation with them.
Yeah, we already have. So we already have a relationship with them, and the day it makes sense to explore or to establish our footing in that segment, we are probably not going to say no when it comes that way.
So why this question is now, so people have a view that the two-wheeler industry growth might be slightly slower because of higher penetration, and the four-wheeler industry growth can continue for the next 15-20 years at the way it is progressing.
Mm.
And our exposure to, you know, two-wheelers are just proportionately high, and there again electrification is also picking up. So that is why the question of four-wheeler is coming now more as compared to 2-3 years back.
I wouldn't say disproportionately high.
Because in India,
it's not disproportionately high. India is a country of masses. Masses cannot be, and all of them are not above a level of where you've got disposable income higher enough to be, you know, using cars. Cost of ownership is kisi ka naam hai na. So the disposable income available with the masses is probably not good enough to buy cars. So, two-wheeler industry expansion is more likely because you've got larger masses, so you've got larger number of motorcycles. So, I wouldn't say it's disproportionate.
Disproportionate. Endurance revenue is disproportionate towards two-wheelers, and the growth of two-wheeler will be lower than four-wheelers in the next 5 years.
Because the base is higher, no? You've got a larger base, you've got 20 million vehicles. But that doesn't mean that 20 million vehicles will not get replaced. Wo bhi to replace hongi.
Although somebody investing in a car doesn't mean only 10 lakhs to buy a car. He needs a house where he can park the car. And if there are three members of the family, he needs a house to park three cars. So that's
the biggest challenge of
the story is not going anywhere.
The biggest challenge that we have today is parking space. We don't have infrastructure. We don't. I'm a person from Delhi, a strong Delhiite, although I've been here in Maharashtra since 18 years, 19 years, so I love Maharashtra as much. But when I go to Delhi, and the moment I land in Delhi, it takes me 20 minutes for me to calibrate my mind that yes, now I'm in Delhi, because the traffic doesn't move. Gaadi mein baithna acha, traffic, red light aa gaya, there was traffic all around. Two lanes, three lanes, four lanes. Have you been to Delhi? Tum Gurgaon wale wahan toll naake pe khade hokar dikha do. There are at least 20 lanes, minimum 20 lanes, all converging into 4. So 20 lanes converging into 4. You can imagine the nightmare that you face over there. Hai na? Theek hai?
That's where we are coming from, that two-wheeler growth going forward, especially ICE, will be slower.
Okay.
And the scooter itself will get replaced to EVs.
It seems that people are not hungry around over here, but still I'll answer your question. If you are looking into replacement of two-wheelers is going to be slow, maybe to an extent I'll agree, but the graduation from bicycle to scooter will be higher. Or to two-wheelers will be high. So you're actually forgetting that space opening up. The amount of people who will graduate from a bicycle to a scooter will be, or a two-wheeler, will be much higher than the people who will be migrating from a two-wheeler to a four-wheeler. So the growth story of two-wheelers does not end. If I've got to put a wild, dirty imagination to it, the two-wheeler story will end when you and me will buy a scooter again, because there will be no space for cars. So if you want to commute to the market, you need a two-wheeler only. Okay? So there's no space for cars. There's no infrastructure is not there. So that is where this two-wheeler story is going to be ending. But it's still maybe 100 years away.
I think we should close with this question.
Yeah, please carry on.
Actually,
you and me can go for lunch later.
No, I was just sorry to extend this part. So, if I was asking the other way around, would you not view that as a low-hanging fruit, the
expand. I know that your focus is in rural because you are at a position of strength. But from a low-hanging fruit perspective, from a revenue addition perspective, how do you view aspirators and aspirations? Would it be a low-hanging fruit or not? Would any of you speak in?
For die casting, yes, we are making all the effort. We have already acquired businesses worth 275 crores in down south. We have acquired businesses with Tata, Mahindra, and others. So I see no reason why we will not be progressing further on that. We'll be reinforcing our position over there. And die casting, beginning of business model, right? I see no reason why we'll not be reinforcing that. So if at all, we see the opportunity in four-wheeler castings, we are going ahead with it. We are going ahead. Okay. Right? Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
I hope the next week.